pile or two.
You look right ahead and tell us what happened in Calais first before you came to Van Buren.
Now, wait a minute. You got this mixed up.
No.
I didn't come to Van Buren.
No, but before your father came to Van Buren. You just gave him his name. What was his name?
My father's name?
Yes.
My father's name was George Edmund Watson. And you want my name?
Yeah, yes, fine. Yes, you have to give your name.
My name is Charles H. Watson.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us what happened in Calais.
You mean that Civil War story?
Yes, the Civil War story.
Well, I was from company of militia was leaving Calais during the Civil War, the start of the Civil War. My father was 9 years old at that time, and he was out with the rest of the town watching the company leave. And the captain of the company had forgotten his shooting iron, his pistol, home. So he sent a young fellow home to get it. And the young fellow ran as fast as he could, got the captain's pistol, and came back down the street to meet the company that was marching down the street ready to leave town. And he came along, he was snapping the hammer back, and the pistol went off, and my father was shot in the leg, just above the knee. He was 9 years old. He was a veteran of the Civil War.
And did he go to the Civil War? He was too young?
No,
he didn't. Did he get anything for that?
No, no.
No at all.
He got a bill from a doctor.
And then when he was older, what did he do?
Well, when he was older, he worked on boats from Eastport to Boston. And sail, you know, common seaman. And when he got sick and tired of that, he got a job buying singles along the St. John River for some company in Fredericton. I can't remember the name of the company. Shaved shingles.
And that's why he came to Van Buren.
That's how he happened to come to Van Buren.
Mm-hmm.
Met my mother and they were married.
And whose raft, what were they doing with their shingles? Where were they loading?
Well, I imagine those shingles were loaded all along the river until they had enough to make a shipment. And they were rafted down to Grand Falls and transferred from the falls by wagon down to another raft below the falls and taken on down to Fredericton or wherever they were going. And I imagine they finally landed in Eastport or St. John or someplace. Shipped to Boston, Philadelphia, New York. That's where I'm sending it. Another story about Van Buren. Concerns the bombing raids we had in Van Buren. It was, I don't remember exactly when, but it was in 1900 and something. It started. It started by a fellow from, I think he came from San David. His name was Santama, L.Y. Santama. Opened up the first sort of bombing works we had in Van Buren. Harold was crippled, and the way he became crippled, he had the measles, and his mother had washed the softwood floors, and it was still wet, and it was cool outside, and all was put down on the floor to play. And somehow or other, one of his legs never grew on account of that. He had one leg shorter than the other, and he walked with a bad limp. So that's how come he got into this Baltimore business. He figured it'd be easier than working in the woods. paper on the river. And finally that was a little bit too tough for him, so he got a job in a grocery store. And he sold his business to Joseph J. Sear. So Mr. Sotomayor sold out to Joe J. Sear in about 1910. Later you left for Pasadena, California, and that was the end of Mr. Sotomayor. He used to write now and then let us stop. We haven't heard from him for years. And that business was turned over to Mr. Joe V. Martin, who ran the business for several years and then sold out to Joe Terrio. My father and mother and the establishment of Watson Brothers and the George G. Watson Variety Store. First of all, when my father came to Van Buren and met my mother, they were married in St. Bruno's Church on January 4th, 1974. They had 9 children. My brothers worked in the shingle mill. Some of them worked up in the woods during the winter. And in 1898, my brother Willie and my brother Johnny started in business. They opened up a grocery store across the street from the store that we sold out in 1942. Was located about where 35 Main Street would be today. It was started in 1898 as a grocery store, and a couple of years later my mother opened up a variety store over the grocery store. Right around Christmas time she had a lot of toys that were brought in, and all the toys were sold out for Christmas, and so the next year the stock was increased, and finally they built a brand new store across the street, exactly across the street from this one, 36 Main Street. My brother Jones died in 1900 in March, but the name Watson Brothers remained. My brother Willie always kept the same name, and it was Watson Brothers from 1898 until 1942 when the business was sold out. Store, 36 Main Street, was divided into two parts. One side was a grocery, and the other side was my father and mother's variety store. And my father and mother were in business up until about 1930, when they got to be too old to run the business. My father died that year. He was 79. And two or three years later, we rented the store to the state or the government as a place for distributing surplus clothing. poor people during the Depression. And the grocery store. I took over the grocery store in 1937 and ran it until 1942. My brother Willie died in 1941. My mother died the same year. And my mother's name was Eulalie Farrell Watson. She was 84 and a half when she died. My brother Willie was 66. And in 1942, I sold the store to Herbie Sear of Hamlin.
You're returning the deed. Do you own the store?
And?
He didn't turn. Where did he sell it to? Who did he sell it to?
Herbie sold the store to Etchier.
Yeah.
Father named Etchier, who opened up a restaurant where my father and mother's variety store was, and he kept the grocery store going. And finally he died. I don't remember exactly when. And his wife ran the store for a while. And then she sold out to Associates.
No.
And today it's a modern IGA supermarket.
How about, what could you have for Kenny during those days?
Oh, you mean in the old days?
Yes.
When I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we used to get a big stick of licorice. It cost you 8, 9, 10 cents today for a penny. You could also get a stick of candy about 6 inches long with a ring. It's a diamond in it for a penny. And lollipops. Big ones. Same thing that sold for a nickel today or more. The big difference between those days and these days.
And how about the crates and that? How they
Everything in the old days used to come packed in wooden boxes. There were no cartons.
Did people use these those boxes for something else?
Sure. Use the boxes for storage. And all depended on what kind of a watch it was, like a cookie box, cracker box. They all had 20, 25 pounds cookies.
You remember the brand of cookies at the time?
Sure, all kinds. National Biscuit, Sunshine, T.A. Houston, Portland.
They're
still around today.
Did you have a little Potbelly store or stove in your store?
We had a big one.
Oh, you had one?
A big Potbelly stove.
Did you run in the middle of the store?
No, it was in the back end, yeah.
Now, how was the store heated?
Oh, we burnt wood most of the time.
The furnace on fire?
No furnace.
No furnace. No, just the stove?
Just the stove. We had one stove in the variety store on my father and mother's side, and we had one in the grocery store. And then we had two stoves upstairs, a kitchen stove and a heater.
Who brought in the wood?
I did.
Nice job, eh?
With the help of my friend.
And did you have the crane?
I'm talking now when I was a small boy. No, I never paid them. Mm-hmm. They'd be waiting for me to play baseball with them.
How about the walk? Was it the wooden walk or what is it they had?
Yeah, we had a wooden sidewalk when I was a young fella. Plank sidewalk.
A plank? Why do you call it plank? Oh, plank.
Just made out of plank.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole length of the main street of today?
Yes. Yeah, it went from Hammond Hotel there. Well, from Dickie Sears, from the railroad track.
Which other stores do you remember?
Right on up to church. Other stores in town? Oh, there was Joe Martin, J. Martin. And there was H.A. Doyle. And Fred Sear, F.O. Mitchell. remember the Van Buren Mercantile, which was turned into the Hammond Hotel afterwards.
Do you remember when you owned Hammond Hotel?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear about the Protestant church being on one side of the street and was moved on the other side, or was it always on the same side?
Well, as far as I know, it was always on the same side.
And we had a custom house where was it at the time, do you remember?
Yeah, the custom house was in Jim Crawford's home. He was a custom house officer.
Where is it? Is that situation?
That's where Don LaPlante lives today, postmaster.
And you mentioned about a school being where Carver should be now?
That's right. That's where I'm at the school.
It was known as what?
They called Sarko.
And what did they do with that school?
What did they do with it?
Yes, after him.
I don't know. When I came back from France in 1919, nobody was going to school anymore. I don't know what happened to the old school. It was either torn down and perhaps bought by Carl Richards. That's where his home is now.
And where was the school when you can return it?
I just told you.
After the Sister High School. Sister High School. Like the Sister High School and in the college. After when you came back from war.
Yeah.
From the First World War.
Yeah.
Was there ever an earthquake in Van Buren?
Oh yeah, speaking of earthquakes, we had a couple. Good ones. We had one in October of 1924. Knocked a few chimneys down, broke a lot of plaster, knocked jars and cans and lamp chimneys and lantern bulbs and stuff like that off the shelves in our store, and scared everybody nearly to death. When we came out of the store, out in the street, the whole town was out in the middle of the street. It didn't last only but a short time. But the next year, we got another one, which wasn't quite as bad as the 1924 one. But it had people all worried and wound up, too. Story about my father, George E. Watson, woke up one morning and he had a terrible toothache, one of the jumping kind, and he was just about half crazy. My mother couldn't do a thing with him. We had no doctor in town. This was way back in around 1880, and the nearest doctor was terrible, but my mother had heard about an old fellow in Lille by the name of Michel Georges Thibodeau. He was supposed to be a healer of almost anything. My father didn't believe in anything like that, but the toothache was so bad that he figured that he'd try anything. So they hitched up the horse and drove up to Lille and came to see old Michel. Michel had was just getting home from a hunting trip. Had a couple of rabbits he'd shot. He'd also picked a little spruce gum, so his hands were nice and sticky, covered with a little blood. So he came in and said hello to my father and my mother and wanted to know what the trouble was. So my mother told him in French that my father had a terrible toothache. And he was just about going crazy. So old Michel said in French, "Mort-moi ça, Georges. Lise-toi, Jay." And my father did. And he put in his dirty fingers in my father's mouth felt the tooth in the jaw, and then he got down on his knees and he prayed. And my father didn't believe much in all this business. First thing he knew, his toothache had stopped. He didn't have any more toothache. And old Michel got up, told my father that he would never have another toothache, and he never did. My father got rid of every one of his teeth as he got older, pulled every one of them himself, never had another toothache after that. Old Michel is buried in Lille today, and over his grave is a great big 60-foot spruce tree growing, and they call the tree Philippinette de Michel Azores.